Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location once again where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That is the verse, Proverbs 27:17, that we stand behind and with and hold it up high with the banner of Jesus. So we're glad you're here. Today we got a topic that, you know, I feel sometimes when we start talking about it that maybe it's contradictory. You don't really get an opportunity to talk about humility without being opposite of that in some cases.
It is one of the difficult things to even pretend that you're a quote-unquote expert on.
There you go. And the one that I know is the expert on being able to teach, I thought I'd bring one of my finest, not my finest, the country's finest. Middle school teachers.
I assume you're talking about Jesus there.
Yes. Well, no. He was everybody.
Was this actually planned in your mind to talk about humility by saying bringing one of the finest? There's something really wrong with this.
Okay. One of the Tim is in the studio with me. Good to have you, brother.
It's great to be here.
Here you are. Whether it's a podcast, you're hearing it during the summer or in the fall, it doesn't matter because we're talking about humility, whether we like it or not.
Yeah. It's a daily topic.
Yes. So
it doesn't matter summer, winter, fall, spring.
That's right. And we'll get into that here momentarily into that and delve right into it. But we always like to kind of kick things off with a little encouragement for the men that are listening. We talk primarily to men, although we know we have some women that listen in. Those are known as the stealthy women. But we talk primarily toward the men. So anyway, have you got anything that would be encouraging to these guys?
You know, actually I do. The word is full of encouraging stuff. And sometimes it's all in how we receive it or how we read it. In Philippians 3, it's about 16, Paul says, "Only let us hold true to what we have obtained." So what we've attained is that we already know.
Yep.
So whatever God has taught you so far, Paul's just saying, hold on to what you got and continue to learn more. He didn't actually say that in that verse, but it says that in the Word. We need to always be learning more, but hold on to what you've already got.
Yep.
And so that's an encouragement and a rebuke in my own life, because how many times have I had to learn the same lesson over and over again? But the Word says, and the Holy Spirit desires to help you hold on to what you've already received.
You know, this ties in real well with our topic, and I love that verse and reminding us of that sort of thing. I remember someone telling me at one time during my recovery, okay, from alcoholism and sin, I had a mentor let me know that true humility is the ability to be teachable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you were talking about here,
mm-hmm.
of being able to really to learn, to be able to say, okay, I may not have all the answers, and I'm willing to hear what you have to say because I want and desire a different life, the way that I've been living it, than the way it has been, okay? And it's been, you know, it's sort of like dying to self. That's what this whole thing is all about, right? And so as we get into this thing, and we're just segue right into it, this thing on humility, the Bible talks about it in a lot of different places, from the beginning in the Old Testament right through to the very end, okay?
All the way.
And it has so many aspects of learning or hearing and reading about what humility looks like. So you had brought this up. Did you have a reason that you wanted to talk about this?
The topic of humility?
That's it.
We have a lot of battles that we consider our daily battles that we talk about on the radio, and we talk about at Band of Brothers, and we talk about in other conversations. Things like pornography hit the top of the list all the time.
Yeah.
But even all those battles, I think the undercurrent is humility. If we understand truly who God is and who we are in relation to Him, then the humility that will bring about, this verse that I just read will all of a sudden become more and more true. I know what God has said about sexual purity.
Mm-hmm.
And this verse says, hold on to what I've already obtained. That doesn't mean that temptations are not going to come around.
That's right.
Holding on to what I've already obtained is itself saying, I believe that God has the wisdom that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I want to live according to that wisdom.
Yep, yep.
So I just think it's an undercurrent. Its antithesis is pride.
Mm-hmm.
And so pride is every man's battle.
Yeah, it strikes all of us. You know, selfishness, self-centeredness, that's the root of all my problems that I found, okay? And more often than I can, when I have a challenge or something that takes place in my life, when I look in the mirror, that's the best place for me to go to first. But where do I want to go? I want to start pointing fingers, blaming, and saying it's because of this, my situation. You know, it's the family that you gave me. It's the parents that I had. It was the upbringing. It was all these other things that I want to blame.
I only lost my job because it was my boss's fault.
Yes, yes. If he wasn't so angry all the time, you know, why was he angry all the time? Only around you. Maybe it has something to do with your work.
And maybe he was angry.
Yeah.
But that's still not the point.
That's it. Exactly. Exactly. So on this thing on humility, the Bible talks about it in a few places.
Okay? A few.
He shows it. The best picture of humility, of actually seeing it, hearing it, understanding it, is to read and understand more about Jesus. He was the pinnacle of humility, okay? I mean, in everything that he did. Now, I used to, when I heard about or started as a Christian, and I remember talking about it, we had like an alpha class where you learned a little bit about Christianity and what the church it offers and this and that. When he talked about Jesus' humility, and he mentioned something, and I remember thinking, but I'm not Jesus. You know, that's where I was at. I'm not Jesus, so I can't be humble like that, you know? So, and all I was doing is trying to justify my behavior and
make it acceptable.
And minimize my sins as being human and et cetera, et cetera. Which in itself is not humility. It's not practicing humility.
Now, the challenge that Jesus was able to balance well, that often comes up with humility, is we are called to be leaders in our home. Many of us are leaders in business or in other places where we are. And how can you be humble and be a leader? Aren't those two words in conflict with each other? But clearly, Jesus was a leader everywhere he went. I would love to know some of the stories that happened when he was 18, 20, 22, 25, and how people at the synagogue, you know, their version of church, how he led Bible studies, or, you know, what happened there besides being a carpenter where he was a humble leader?
Yes.
What we have record of is after he said, I am the Son of God and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And humility was one of the first things he talked about in Matthew. And it's just like, okay, he managed to be a leader and humble at the same time.
Right. So if we have do you by any chance have in front of you a definition of humility?
The Bible describes humility as meekness, lowliness, and absence of self.
Hmm. Absence of self.
There's the ticket.
Yeah.
So what did Jesus come all about?
Mm-hmm.
He came all about the name of God.
Yes.
Upholding God, but the name of God and the word of God was paramount in everything he did. He quoted scripture, and he upheld the name of God always.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of his life on earth, his physical, human, bodily life on earth,
mm-hmm.
he even said, don't you think in a second I could get 10 legions of angels in here to fight my battle for me?
Mm-hmm.
But no, because God has said, this is what I want you to do. I will do it.
Mm.
That's humility. That's the absence of self.
Mm. But now, as a guy, and I'm kind of playing the advocate here, the other guy's
adversary.
Yeah, adversary.
advocate, but it's kind of the opposite of what you're trying to say.
But when we are actually wanting to have more of this Jesus-like characteristic,
mm-hmm.
okay, in doing so, sometimes we look at it and say, I can't do that because I'm a construction manager. I run a crew, and mm-hmm. I've got to get these guys. I've got to get them into being desiring that we need to get this done in a timely manner. Et cetera, et cetera. Or I've got people that I organize and this is a schedule I'm putting together or, you know, whatever it might be. I can be humble to God, okay, but does that mean I have to be humble everywhere else? You see what I'm saying?
Where isn't God? So if you're humble to God,
mm-hmm.
you're humble everywhere.
Right.
Because God is everywhere. And if he is in you, then, because you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then that is where the rubber meets the road. How do we be humble and give direction and instruction and be the boss?
Mm-hmm.
And all of us are at somewhere in our life, even if it's at home, at family, or with some friends, somebody has a leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way people are. They have a pecking order that they figure out.
Right.
We study it in dogs and wolves and stuff, but it's true in us too. And how to live out that humility in each relationship is critical.
You know, I used to think that I actually had a lot of humility because I used to have a lot of humiliation toward the end of my sinful life, in a sense, because of the actions that I had. And we're not talking the same thing here. Humiliation, of course, is where you know that you've done something wrong and that you've been caught. Other people see it or witness it, and you can't deny it, you know, mm-hmm. and it's humiliating. You know, what? No matter what it is, whatever it is, a task that you're doing, or and then all of a sudden it's not completed, but you have no one to blame, and it's pretty obvious that it's just because of you
mm-hmm.
and your decision-making or your action, okay, that brings about this humiliation.
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm the first one to want to blame, again, other people. If these shoes were fit me a little better, that you know, I wouldn't have tripped and fallen, right? And if, you know, you always look for a way out. And I remember one time, it's no different. The last thing I want to do is to humble myself and saying, you know, I messed up, right? That doesn't fit very well, right? I used to, every now and then, I used to consider myself a little clumsy. I would trip or just have a little skip step, in a sense, where I could have fallen, but I caught myself. And then what I do immediately as I'm kind of regaining balance again, I do a little two-step, you know, make it look like I was just, you know,
doing that on purpose,
right? And,
sounds like
you know,
the do-a-ditty.
With that, it's like, okay, you know, I could have just not done that. But I wanted to bring attention to, look at how well I can do this.
Right, right. It's all about appearances.
Exactly.
And that's a pride thing, and that's where we all come from.
So, you know, when we're talking about being humble, as it talks about in the Word of God, okay, the majority of people, the men that are listening, they've accepted Jesus as their Savior and possibly as their Lord also. I'd like to think so.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some who are just kind of maybe not sure, but they came to the podcast and they wanted to hear, what is this thing and why does this have anything to do with knowing Jesus? Well, a big part of it is it's not so much about knowing Jesus, it's seeing how much I'm not like him in the way that I am.
There you go. Right?
And what needs to be eliminated in my life.
And see, an analogy, little pieces. I teach in a middle school setting, and when I talk to people, they don't think that that would be a very fun job. Hmm. A lot of people don't want to live with a hormonally challenged all day, every day.
Yeah.
When I go to the shop and say, what's wrong with my car? It goes clunk. I mean, I can change oil, and I've even changed my tires, but that's about where it ends. I'm not going to get into the computer. There's so much I don't know. I go to an expert, and when he says something, I try to listen with everything I got and make sense of it to be able to make a decision about whether I'm paying money or not.
Right.
But I rely on his wisdom because he's trained and he's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I should approach God. Mm-hmm. He's trained. He's the guy. And he has spoken about humility. He has spoken about how I should live my life. And he has demonstrated that through the life of Christ. And when I think, well, I can do this on my own, that's like me taking my crescent wrench out to the car when I need a whole lot more than a crescent wrench.
Yeah.
Or Pete's screwdriver.
Exactly. So what ends up taking place is that we end up having to make a decision. I mean, just to walk into a shop of saying, you know, my car is not working right. In a sense, that's a sense of humbling yourself.
I need help.
Exactly. And I know that I'm going to have to pay. So I'm hoping that I don't have to pay a lot and that, you know, we could, you know, et cetera, et cetera. These are tough things for men to do because we want to take care of things ourselves.
Right? But I can go into the shop and act like I know what's going on and totally say, my alternator needs, and I still have this sense of pride because I knew something.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, in some ways I can be saying, I don't have time to do this, so I'm going to pay you to do it because that's your job. And I'm going to go do my job and make my money so that I can pay you. And this is economy. And I don't really humble myself.
I just
get the job done.
Yes.
Whereas with God, it's a heart matter.
Well, let's take a break right now. And then let's come back. Let's talk about this heart matter. What is it that gets us to this place of maybe realizing that we need to be more like him? And why do we have to be more like him since we're not going to be him? I mean, there's only one God, and it's him. And it's not going to be me. So why go this direction? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
And I fall on my knees and I fight like a warrior. I am a warrior on my knees. I call on the name of the one who is conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror, and I believe the enemy trembles every time.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Tim is in the studio with me today, and we're talking on humility. And we're, you know, one thing I do know when we're talking about this topic is that somewhere along the line, someone has to share things so that we understand it a little bit more. If nobody talked about humility, thinking that you're not going to be humble as a result of that. But what the way I like to go about it, and we've been doing that, is actually talk about what the Word of God says and what it is that the Lord wants us to be doing when it comes to this sort of thing. So I'd ask the question before we went to the break of why is it that we want to be more like Christ, since he's not going to be, we're not going to be like that. I mean, he does say in his word, he says, be perfect because I am perfect. Okay. And then, of course, he says, be holy because I am holy. All right. Says that in 1 Peter and in another location. And so as a result of that, we're sitting there going, okay, but I'm not going to achieve that. And I have to be very careful there sometimes because I can actually justify my misbehavior, okay, by saying, hey, I'm only human. I'm attempting to be like him, but I'm not, when I know that I could do better.
Hold on to what you have achieved.
Yeah.
Just going backwards there.
Exactly, exactly. So with that, I mean, what do you think when it comes to that sort of thing? When we're talking about, yes, we've accepted Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. And if we haven't, now's the time that we're talking about this sort of thing, where I realize that the way that I was living life myself, making my decisions, changing my life, it was not working that way. Because not only was I trying to run my life, I was trying to run everyone else's life around me, especially those that are close to me. Maybe that's why the wife and the children did not necessarily want to. They didn't mind if I worked extra long hours, et cetera.
So the whole question is, why pursue humility?
Yes.
What is the? Is there a benefit? And there's so many benefits, and how to go about it. Just that verse I used at the beginning, back in Philippians again, in 1:27, it says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." If our manner of life is worthy of the gospel, why do we want to live in a manner worthy of the gospel? Mm-hmm. Well, when I need to trim my hedge, I don't start my lawnmower, pick it up, and try to trim my hedge with a lawnmower. It's not the tool designed for that. And I'm not even strong enough to do it, first of all. But, I mean, it's just that it seems ridiculous to think about trimming your hedge with a lawnmower, because the lawnmower is designed for a specific purpose, and really that's all it's good for. You were designed. Mm-hmm. You were designed by a ultimately perfectly intelligent, full of wisdom God, mm-hmm, for a purpose, and that purpose is good. The word says that God is good and his commands are good. And they are good for us. That doesn't necessarily always mean comfortable. And in our humanness, it doesn't even mean desirable, but it means they are good. And it is for our best. So if the whole design of the earth, of everything, is for our good because God loves us that much, then choosing to pursue humility and to live in a manner that Christ lived is the only logical answer.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in I believe it's here in Corinthians. Let's see, where did I find this? Anyway, Jesus called them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man cannot be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And that's Matthew chapter 20, by the way. And what he's letting us know is that, hey, for us to be great, we have to be humble. We have to be a slave. We have to be a servant, okay? And in doing so, that's where all of a sudden it's like, he who is last will be first. right?
Mm-hmm.
This
yes.
is what he also says in Beatitudes. And so it's important for us to realize that, yes, we've made a decision. We want to be more Christ-like. We want to follow him. And these are the things that he said, that he did, okay, that he wants us to do. I mean, these are commands.
Mm-hmm.
They're commands. They're not just requests. Say, so this is what I'd like for you to do. These are actual commands.
If you think about it, this would be a great idea, maybe on your weekend. No, that's not the
exactly. So when it comes to this sort of thing, when he's talking about humility like this, any other?
So somewhat more practical example. Great story of a lady who she was an ambassador or something. She met with two heads of state in Europe, and with one she felt like she was with the most intelligent man in the world, and with the other she felt like she was the most intelligent person in the world.
Mm.
Who would she want to go back and have another meal with? The one where she felt like he was all it, or the one who made her feel like she
yes.
was all it? And it's not so much that, I mean, that story is kind of an extreme, but that even as a boss, mm-hmm. if my employees fear me, they're not going to work their hardest when my back is turned. If my employees are encouraged and I serve them and I act in a Christ-like manner towards them, the likelihood that they'll work hard when I'm not around is higher. There's tons of research that supports mm-hmm. that, and we call it social theory and all that kind of stuff. But it's all of its basis comes from the fact that the universe was designed by somebody who says, this is the way it works.
Right.
You
right.
can experiment and try and figure it out all you want. But guess what? I've already told you. It's right here in the Word. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, mm-hmm. just like you just read.
You know, he lets us know here, and I'm just going to go to one here. You read out of Philippians 2:8, right? That's where you first did? You have that right there?
It was Philippians 3:16.
What does 2:8 say? You have it right there.
I do. 2:8 says, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross."
And ultimately, that's talk about die to self.
Literally.
Right? That's what we are to be like. That's the attitude that he wants us to have.
Interestingly enough, the very next word, "Therefore God has highly exalted him."
Yes.
He was exalted not because he made up himself up.
Yes.
But he emptied himself out.
Yes.
Who do you want to be exalted by?
Yes.
Some guy who can do it for 5 minutes and give you a good pat on the back, or God who can do it forever and all of eternity, including now?
Yeah. And so often, here's one of the things I myself personally sometimes have forgotten about, that I take it for granted. I'm thinking, okay, I don't need to have all that humility. I don't need to have this salvation with Christ for the for eternity. I mean, it's okay. I want others to have it. Well, if I want others to have it, that's a very good characteristic to have. That's a good way of actually desiring to live your life so that those around you get it. But you want to give them the right thing. You don't want them to think that they have to do it the same way that you have, by just pulling up your own bootstraps, by making your own decisions because they're intelligent decisions and you've thought them through thoroughly. No, it's about humbling yourself to God. I think one of the things that is most important, especially in relationships, husband and wife, there's something about sometimes after the marriage and the honeymoon and maybe a year in, it's done, all of a sudden you start to let down a little bit your awareness of how you're trying to win your wife over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of let down the guard, so to speak.
Quit dating.
Yes. And you start getting into being who you are with her. But sometimes we have a tendency of we start giving commands or demands.
The compass goes from I'm trying to please to win to I want to be pleased and won.
Yes, yes.
Please me now.
Yes. And that and that can actually create an awful lot of problems. And this is one of the areas that it's so important for us as men to practice humility. And that's where all of a sudden a lot of guys put in their heels, go, no, I draw the line right here.
You know what? The word that really jumped out in what you just said was the word practice.
Mm-hmm.
We know we have to practice in athletics. We know we have to practice at many of the skills we have at work. It doesn't matter what work is.
Mm-hmm.
And practicing humility. In other words, making a game plan and having a thought out, this is what I need to do kind of plan.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like it's backwards. How do you plan to be humble?
Yes, yes.
If I'm planning it, am I going to be? But it goes back to how we opened this section. It's the heart.
Yes. And that's part of where I wanted to segue into where we were talking about, to a place that we're going to, after the break here, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how we apply practicing humility in our lives. We'll start with what that looks like in our relationship with our wives. And it doesn't have, and don't have to disconnect and stop listening because you're not married. This is the time that you want to listen because it applies not only in your marriage, but in all your relationships.
Everywhere.
It's a principle, mm-hmm. or I should say they are principles that we're looking at. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how can we actually apply humility into our life where I can easily swallow this pill with a very little water, so to speak.
Just a little bit of sugar.
A little bit. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Are you having a problem getting reliable internet service at your home or business? Are you disappointed with the company currently providing your internet connection? Maybe it's time that you check out an alternative company that's attracting a growing number of customers. StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. And StarTouch has now expanded into Oregon as well. Learn how to contact them for a free quote by clicking on the StarTouch logo on the sponsor page of faithplace.org. StarTouch Broadband Services.
StarTouch Broadband Services.
Like sheep, we have all gone astray. We must choose this day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Idols raised, tear them down. 'Cause we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Good song. Thank you, producer, that we will serve the Lord. Obviously, this is what this thing is all about, that we are to be servant attitudes, okay? You know, we're
perfect.
Last Tuesday here, we at Band of Brothers, we were in the book of John, and we talked about John the Baptist. And we talked about how humble he was.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a man who lived in the wilds, so to speak. Wore camel hair, ate locusts, and they weren't chocolate covered. Okay.
Wild honey.
Yeah, wild honey. And he was a Levite, but he had one purpose, one sole purpose, and that was to make straight the path of the one who was coming. And that was his cousin, his second cousin, believe it or not, was Jesus. Okay. But he didn't know Jesus until they were both in their 30s. Okay.
Yep.
And as a result of that, he ends up humbling himself, letting all of us know, and especially those who were with him at the time, as John, the Gospel of John writes, okay, that he actually let others know that the one who is coming is greater than I. And he's so much greater than I that I don't even qualify to, you know, the thongs, his sandals that he talks about. I don't even qualify to tie them, okay? And so, but his attitude was of letting people know of being reverent and humble, not to God, that he was the Messiah and he was to baptize him And then he goes on about, you know.
Yeah, and he says, should I even baptize you? You should baptize me. He
exactly.
Says, no. Jesus said, no, let this be so.
And that sounded familiar because Jesus up in the upper room before his Last Supper with the apostles,
yep.
He washed their feet.
And you know? Peter said, no, not me.
Yes, yeah. If you're going to wash my feet, then wash my whole body. And it goes on from there. Because first off, you know that they had to be a little embarrassed. Nobody washed, and it's part of the job to be a servant, okay? Nobody washed Jesus' feet as he walked in. And he went about and started the meal and everything. Then, after he ate, then he went and washed the feet. You don't think there was some humiliation that was taking place in there? Some feelings that had taken place?
The whole idea of why it's being done. Jesus was doing it as an example and as a lesson and because he loved them.
Right.
And right. That how we do, you know, back to that heart attitude, how we do it and where our heart is in the whole process is such a critical issue. And that's, you know, for me, our Western mindset, and I'm a math teacher, and so as a, you know, linear thinker, getting into a Hebrew mindset and really thinking about the heart part mm-hmm. of it, I have to really work at because mm-hmm. it's really easy to just read words and have them just be words.
Right.
But the heart of Christ, mm-hmm. that is what we're really after. Mm-hmm. It's he didn't do this because it was a lesson plan where it's I do this first and then this, and here's the result that's going to happen.
Right.
He did it because he loved them.
Right. And so often if we look at it, when you see someone that has humility, they show that in certain areas of their life, that's an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who isn't kind of drawn towards someone that is humble? You feel first that you're not going to be attacked, which is safe, right? So you kind of warm up to somebody like that. Go ahead.
Yeah. On the other hand, a lot of times humble people disappear. Because they don't seek the limelight. And so although we may be attracted to them, we have to search for them. You mm-hmm. have to find them because they don't make much of themselves.
But all the more reason that if we are being more Christ-like and we go out to make disciples of all men, okay, because that's a command that he gives all of us,
mm-hmm.
okay, not just the leaders in our churches or in our ministries, but to all of us mm-hmm. who read the word. That's a command. And as a result of that, there will be more hopefully out there that will be humble and be willing to be a servant, to love, okay, rather than to be loved, right? And to be kind instead of expecting to be have kindness toward you, you know, to do something for someone else with the same thing that you would want for yourself, okay? And these are ways of being able to live because this is how Jesus has told us to live, right?
Mm-hmm. And this, when we said we were going to get back to the husband-wife
thing. I've got it here, yeah.
Okay, good. But that just played right into, in Revelation 5, John sees that nobody's worthy to open the scroll, and the angel says, but wait, the lion of the tribe of Judah, he is worthy. And when John turns to see him, he sees a lamb who is slain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a picture of humility.
Yes.
He turned expecting to see a roaring, conquering lion mm-hmm. coming charging. Everybody fears, and he sees a slain lamb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a picture not only of humility, but it's a draw for us to live in the same manner,
yes.
to accept the other's pain
yes.
And let that be our pain
yes.
is a very humbling thing.
Yes, yes. I'm going to fast forward here or go back.
Please do.
Let's go right back to the question we had talked about before. Application. We can hear about humility. We can read about it. We can desire it. But how do we get it?
Okay? How do we practice it?
How do we practice it? And the best way of doing that is to actually, the Lord answered that with one answer. When they asked him which was the greatest commandment,
mm-hmm.
he says, to seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
And
then he says, and little did they realize he was going to say this, and the second is like it, to think of others more highly than yourself. or to love others as you love yourself. Mm-hmm. Meaning that if you take care of your hunger pain, you feed yourself, right? If you're cold, you warm yourself. If you're in the rain or in the weather and you need to stay dry, you get under cover. We are to do these same things for others.
So the key there, if my body is hungry, a message is sent to me, hunger.
Mm-hmm.
If my wife is hungry for compassion, if she is hungry for affection, if she is hungry for food, if she's hungry for security, if she's hungry for my just being near her so that there's companionship, I have to be aware of this. I have to have enough of an attitude where I am looking towards her, not just to be a pleaser, but to supply her needs as God enables me.
Yes,
I'm not going to be her savior. I'm not going to be her God. Mm-hmm. But God has enabled me and made me her partner in life to be that.
Yes, yes. Because we are called actually to protect and provide, you know, to give the provision, to be able to teach and to love. I mean, these are some of the, this is the way that men are wired. But we're wired a little differently, like a lot differently than women. Okay. There's a purpose for that. We're the ones who bring it. They're the ones who bake it. Okay? I mean, that's biology 101, okay, when it comes down to it. They know how to be able to put that together, to make a home or a house a home.
And nurturing.
And a couple into a family, okay? And we are the ones to provide and bring that in. But we also are called to love and to be kind and to love your wife as Christ loves the church.
The two shall become one flesh.
Amen. And so as a result of that, the things that you talked about before about being affectionate with your wife, okay, being understanding. Now, you may sit there and go, but I don't understand. Brother, welcome to the crowd. You know, welcome to the club in a sense. You know, but here's the deal. We can still pass on affection for our wives, even though we don't understand why they feel a certain way. It's part of us being able to love her as Christ loves us. Do you think God doesn't know why we do things? He knows how dumb we can be. And we make decisions that are sinful decisions sometimes, but he still loves us. And he shows affection by giving us opportunities to be able to be loved by someone else, like the wife he's given you.
And this thing called forgiveness.
Yes. That is huge, okay?
So 1 Corinthians 13 says, love keeps no record of wrongs.
Yes.
That's a humility thing.
Yeah.
If I'm keeping a record of wrongs, it is my scorekeeping. That's because I want to win.
Yes, yes.
Don't keep a record. Always forgive. It doesn't mean we don't correct, and it doesn't mean we don't encourage and try to give instruction and all those kinds of things. But keeping a record is a scorekeeping thing because you want to win. There's no humility in that.
That's right. This is not a game. There's not a win-lose. You're together. Okay?
Two shall become one flesh.
As a result of the affection, how do you apply affection? Well, part of that is communicating. Part of the hugest part of communication, believe it or not, isn't being able to speak and to tell somebody something. It's listening.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever had that experience where your wife says, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you just to listen to me. And you'll sit there and say, okay, go ahead, fire away. No, take the time to really, truly listen to what she's saying because she's trying to let you know her heart.
And listen with all your senses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as a result of that, then you can actually ask her, how can I best achieve that or to be here for you during this time of whatever it is that's taking place? Maybe it's just she's just airing out and she wants somebody who understands her. Now, you've known her a long time. You've been with her for a long time, but maybe you don't know her well.
Mm-hmm. And even if you do know her well, she still needs to be understood.
That's right. And you want to be able to get to know her well because that's part of what, again, what we're called to do, to love your wife as Christ loves the church. How does he love him? How does he love you? He was patient with you. He waited until you came to him. He said, when you did come to him, he opened his arms and he held you, and you felt that. And when you ask for forgiveness, he forgave you. And he reminds you through his word that you are forgiven. And as a result of that, there's a better, stronger relationship that's taking place. And the more that you get to spend time with him, the more you get to know him. Same as he wants us to do with our wives, to really get to know her. Even more, your kids may be out of the house, or maybe you're just in the process of beginning your family. Maybe it's just the two of you. She needs to be a priority. Mm-hmm. The top of the ladder rung, and the top rung should be Jesus. Next one down should be her. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep.
And I'm not going to get into the whole thing because I don't want to. We're almost going to. We just have a few moments here. But along with listening, serving. Believe it or not, brother, being the servant for your wife.
And this goes right back to the heart issue, because we can serve to get something. Look what I did for you. You need to give to me. Or we can serve and put a period at the end of the sentence. That's it. I'm serving. Because.
Yes.
Because I love you, and because I am filled by the Spirit to love you, because I know this is what I want to do, what I should do, and because now as the more I do it, the more I feel like I want to do it.
Yes.
A lot of times you don't feel like it, and you just do it because you know you should, and the feelings follow.
Yes. There's something about the statement in the verse where it says, freely you receive, freely give.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we give that to our wives. As a result of doing these things that we're talking about with your wife, do them with others in your life. And then you'll find that all of a sudden your relationship with them changes.
Mm-hmm.
It'll change for the better, brother. So seek God with everything you have, then love others the way that you love yourself.